Well, as we begin this morning, I'm mindful of someone who once said that a wasted life is really nothing more than a collection of wasted days. After all, each day of your life amounts to a lifetime. And as we head into a new year, each one of us this morning started the new year off on the same footing. We all have exactly the same opportunities as one another. In fact, we have 365 of them, minus one, already. Well, the reality is either you and I will choose this year to invest in those things that are eternal and that are important, the things of God, or we will allow those days to drift by and we will waste the opportunities that God has given us. Now, the difference between those who succeed this year and those who do not is not a difference between what talents or abilities you and I have. No, the difference between those who succeed and those who don't is simply found in what we do with the time that's given to us. So let us ask the question. And it's an obvious one for the first Sunday of the new year. Christian, what spiritual goals do you have this year? Do you have them? Are you aiming for anything spiritually? Now, recently I heard about a survey. Last night I read about it, a survey about New Year's resolutions. And this particular survey discovered that many people this year are not making any resolutions because the world believes, what's the point in aiming for anything when anything can happen at any time? Maybe as a Christian you have that opinion this morning. Hey, what's the point of having any plans when anything can change at any time? Well, would you see in the Word of God this morning, God wants us to have some resolutions. God wants us to have some spiritual goals. He doesn't want us to be like the world and just give in and coast along and just see what happens with a fatalistic, unspiritual attitude. No, God wants us to have some goals. Well, this same survey listed the top three goals that those who have made some plans this year had shared with them. First of all, exercise and eating healthy was on the top of those top three. Losing weight was a part of it. Meditating came in at number two. And obviously, when the world talks about meditation, it's not what God says about meditation. This is a mystical Eastern religion meditation, emptying your mind, thinking about nothing, and obviously that being the opportunity for wrong thoughts to enter your mind. And then practicing mindfulness. I'll let you go and discover what that means, all right? Self-help philosophies. Self-esteem. That is what the world is focused on this year. Christian, what are you and I focused on this year? Do we have any goals? And are those goals, or do those goals, have anything to do with God? Look, there's nothing wrong with eating better this year. Obviously, we all need to after Christmas and the indulgences which we enjoyed. But we all need to improve in different areas. But let's be honest, some of the most important goals to us are not actually that important to God. Some of them, in fact, have nothing to do with God. And the Bible tells us, as we read in Psalm 90, verse 12, so teach us to number our days. This is the prayer of the psalmist to God. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. That ought to be our goal this year. And so this morning, if you would allow me, from Proverbs chapter 3, we are going to look at some New Year resolutions from the wisest man that ever lived. That man's name was Solomon. You know the background. He asked God for one thing, and that was wisdom. And God said, I'll give it to you. And we have a whole book of wisdom right here in the Old Testament. The book of Proverbs. In fact, the words wise and wisdom appear no less than 124 5 times. And so God has given us some wonderful help this morning to make sure we stay on track this year. Amen? To make sure we don't get sidetracked and go off the path of God's blessing and into the path of the world, which tragically many Christians have drifted into. Why? Because they have not resolved to stick to the wisdom of God. Well, we need to make sure we do. Proverbs chapter 3, we could say, is one of our favorite proverbs, isn't it? Some of you will be reading it tomorrow, and some of you, I'm sure, have some of your life verses in this wonderful proverb. Some verses that God has used phenomenally in your life. Some that you have memorized. This is that what some is called the mountain peak of the book of Proverbs. Why? Because it contains the essential life goals that God wants you and I to have. If you want to have a happy new year, well, the Bible says in verse 13, happy is the man that findeth, say it,
wisdom.
Well, 5 goals, 5 new year's resolutions. Let's start in verse number 1. First of all, the Bible tells us if you and I are going to have a happy new year, new year's resolution number 1, God calls us to treasure the word of God. To treasure the word of God. Verse number 1, my son, forget not my law. The word law is another name for God's commandments, his word. But let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them upon thy neck. Notice that phrase there. Bind them upon thy neck. Solomon describes God's word as a precious jewel around one's neck. Now, fathers, if you've ever had daughters like I do, you will know that daughters love shiny things. Isn't that right, dads? They love necklaces, they love jewelry, and they don't need a special occasion to wear them. They would wear them all day if they could, unless Dad said you need to take it off when you go to bed. You know, they love those precious, shiny things. They love to play with them, they love to wear them. Some of you adults love to do the same. Why? Because it's something that is precious to you. And what is precious to you and I, no matter what it is, and then I don't think it's your jewelry, I hope it's not. Whatever is precious to you is what we keep closest to us. Isn't that correct? Whatever is most precious to you, we want to have close to us. We want to have near to us. We want to be able to hold each day and see each day. The application is very obvious, isn't it? God wants you and I this year, as a New Year's resolution, to treasure the Word of God. To bind it upon our neck like a precious jewel. And that's exactly what our goal should be. How much do you treasure the Word of God? How much is it precious to you? Well, as we adorn our lives with God's Word, He promises a happy new year. If you don't believe me, have a look in verse number 2. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Do you see that this morning? God speaks about the quality of life, length of days. If you and I obey the word of God, if we love Him, if we love the Lord and love His commandments, amen? God promises a quality of life, a full and fulfilling life as we live out His words. You see, as we spend time in the Word of God, His priorities will become ours. His desires will become ours. Delight thyself in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. That's wisdom, Christian. Treasure the Word of God, and He will protect you from empty, worthless, and wasteful living in 2022. God speaks also about the quantity of life in verse number 2. And long life, notice, and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Now, God isn't saying that if you are a Christian and you treasure His word, you're never going to get sick. That's not what God is saying. God isn't saying that if you treasure the Word of God, you will never die. No, that's not true. But the Word of God will keep us from that which will shorten the length of our lives. And what is that? Well, it's sin. Sin is what will corrupt 2022 for you and I. Sin that we allow into our life. The exact opposite of what is said in verse 1. Keep my commandments. Oftentimes the Word of God will say, keep my commandments and live. Isn't that right? So length of days is promised to those who treasure the Word of God. The length that God desires for you and I to have. Sin is the problem. As it's often said, either this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. Turn with me, please, to Romans chapter 6, verse 23. A very familiar verse, Romans chapter 6, verse 23. But I'm sure, like myself, you've read through the book of Romans. You've looked at verse number 6 and verse 23, which we often use in sharing the gospel. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death. Do you see that? But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now look at verse 22. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. Isn't it interesting how verse 23 in its context is speaking to the believer? Not to the lost, not to the unbeliever, but to the Christian. And the Bible tells us that if you and I have repented of our sins and personally received Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are no longer servants to sin. We have a new master, Jesus Christ, and we are no longer bound to the law of sin and death. We are free from the bondage of sin. We are free now to live unto God. But yet still in verse 23, the wages of sin is death. You see, even as a Christian, sin will lead you and I to an untimely death. But if we treasure the Word of God, quantity of life is given, because we will turn away from that sin that leads us to destruction. And we need to be reminded of that this morning. We cannot just live as we please and expect just to God to just bless us because we are under the blood. No, that is New Age Christianity. That is the ecumenical movement. That is redefined holiness. You won't find that in the Bible. Just live as you please and God will bless you because everything you do is the will of God, because you're his child. No, that's not true. We need to fear the Lord. Amen. And so, Christian, let's be reminded. Now, perhaps this morning you're here. And if you died right now, you're not 100% sure that you'll go to heaven when you die. My friend, our sin separates us from a holy God. And sin cannot enter heaven. Otherwise, heaven will be just as bad as earth right now. Who would want to spend an eternity in a place like that? No, God is a holy God. And He is separate from sin. We cannot approach unto Him, for God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. But the Bible tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Our sins have kept us from God. Will keep us out of heaven. Will send us to the grave, for the wages of sin is death. But the good news is, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And if you missed it last Christmas, don't miss it this morning. That a Savior has come into the world. God came down to this wicked, sin-cursed earth. He took upon Himself human flesh. Why? That He may die on the cross. Not for His sin, for He had none. He was God eternal. The Lord Jesus Christ became 100% man, and He remained 100% God, and He went to an old rugged cross, and there on that cross He shed His holy, precious, blood. Why? To pay for your sins and mine. That's what he did on that cross that day. And then he was buried. And on the third day, he rose again from the dead, proving that the justice and judgment of a holy God, which we deserve to be punished for our sins, has been satisfied by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. The once and for all payment of Christ has atoned for your sins, is a covering, a forgiveness, an eternal gift of redemption. If you would simply repent of your sins and by faith turn to Jesus Christ and ask him to save you once and for all. My friend, has there been a time that you turned from your sins, realizing that you desperately need a Savior? My friend, if you're not sure whether Jesus Christ is your Savior from sin, if you're not 100% sure of a home in heaven, the only New Year resolution right now for you has to be to personally accept him today. Why would you walk out of here worrying about death and hell and judgment for eternity? For there is only two ways after you die and two places to go: up to heaven or down to hell, eternal joy or eternal torment. Which one will it be for you? There are many things that you might fear in this life, but there would be nothing greater than being separated from God forever. That's what we deserve. But thank God, God so loved the world, and he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Don't miss the gift of God, which is eternal life, my friend. Just like any other gift last Christmas, all you simply need to do is receive it. Last time we were here in church, I spoke to a young man outside and I said to him, "Hey, someone can offer you a gift, but it's not yours until you do something. What do you need to do?" Well, you need to take it. And if you just sit there and stare at it, it'll never be yours. Imagine someone offering you a gift at Christmas, and you just stared at it. You said, "Wow, that's nice. Hey, that makes me feel good. Someone loves me." Yes, God so loved you. God commendeth his love towards you, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But he is not your personal Savior until you receive him as your Savior. You can walk in and out of here all of your life and yet go to a Christless eternity in hell if you never receive Jesus as your Savior. Listen, life is short. So teach us to number our days, the psalmist said. This may be the last day of your life. Don't miss the gift of God, the gift of forgiveness. Once you receive him, you become a child of God. And if you are a Christian this morning, listen carefully. If Jesus Christ saved us from sin, let's not go back and dwell there any longer. Amen? Though we have an eternal home in heaven and we cannot lose our salvation, we can still lose the quantity and the quality of our lives right here on earth. Here is some wisdom for us. We need to treasure the word of God. Notice also in verse number 2 of Proverbs chapter 3. As we turn back there, not only do we see the quality of life, length of days, the quantity of life, a long life, and also notice the quietness of life and peace. Who would love to have a peaceful year this year? You don't have to put your hands up. Everyone in the world is looking for a peaceful life. We are seeking a peaceful life. How can we have that? Well, treasure the word of God. Amen? Because God promises us a peace that is much more than the peace the world seeks. The Bible tells us in the New Testament of a peace that passeth what? All understanding. A peace that rises up above, supernaturally above, the dilemmas, the destruction, the drugs of this world. Amen? God doesn't promise you and I will have a peaceful life without problems. No, God promises us we will have a peaceful life through the problems. That is something much greater. That is something much more precious. So this must be a resolution, don't you think, church family? We're still stuck on the first one. Treasuring the Word of God. A supernatural peace. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2, let me read it for you. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As we spend time in the Word of God, God will give you peace in the darkest moments of your life. You'll claim promises that you have not before. You have a calm in your soul, perhaps, that you have not had before. You'll look at your circumstances through the eyes of God and through the eternal joys of Jesus Christ, and your whole circumstances will change internally, though they have not changed a bit externally. That is a peace that passeth all understanding. The peace of God. And some of you know what I'm talking about. Amen? Well, don't stop treasuring the Word of God. And then there will be a life that will be pleasant to others in verse 4. So shalt thou find favour and good understanding in the sight of God and man. As you and I adorn our lives with God's Word, people will see the difference. People will see you change. You'll speak. You'll say words that you did not say before. You'll be speaking about God more than you did last year. You'll be rejoicing more than you did last year, and people will see the difference. The Bible says that thou shalt find favor and good understanding in the sight of God. Not only will our life be pleasing to the Lord, but our life will also be a blessing to others who are seeking for peace in a dark day. Boy, what a reminder this morning to make it a goal. A New Year's resolution to treasure His Word, the precious Word of God. I hope you began the new year out well. If you didn't, well, today's another day. Amen? Don't be discouraged and give up because you slept in on Saturday morning. Alright? Today is another day. Use the time that God has given you to make sure you have a daily time with the Lord in His Word. The Bible says in verse number 3, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. What a statement. If you and I forsake the Word of God, then mercy and truth will forsake us. Why? Because if we don't spend time in the Word of God, we won't enjoy the abundant blessings of God's mercies. We won't know about them. We'll be guilty and in shame of our sin, and we'll forget, amen, as far as the east is from the west. So far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Amen? We'll forget that those who come to Him, He will in no wise cast out. If we forget about the promises of God, you and I are in big trouble. We won't enjoy the blessings of living in the midst of His mercy. Where would we be without the mercies of God? Aren't there times in your life and mine where we just simply need to cast ourselves upon the mercies of God afresh? We know that we're saved. But boy, how we fail all the time. Mercy and truth is what we need. Don't let mercy and truth forsake you by forsaking the Word of God. Write them upon the table of thy heart. The table of your heart is your mind. The psalmist said, Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Let's memorize the Word of God. How do we treasure it? We memorize it. We hide God's Word in our hearts. Well, I'm sure you've got the message already. New Year's resolution number 1. Treasure the Word of God. This is a must. As we continue on, have a look in verses 5 to 6. Verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. New Year's resolution number 2, trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Now I wonder this morning if that's one of your New Year's resolutions. Maybe it is. Maybe you know it should be. Maybe it's not. Well, let it be. Hey, that could be a theme a New Year's church theme for 2022. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Boy, how we need to do that this year, don't we? We have no idea what is going to happen this year. We didn't even know what was going to happen last year. So what do we do in the midst of such uncertainty? Do we sit back like the world does? And the article that I read said this: what the world is doing is saying, let's hope for the best, but plan for the worst. Now, sometimes we live that way as Christians, don't we? I'm going to hope for the best, but I'm going to prepare for the worst. Is that how we should think? Where does that philosophy come from? Not from the Word of God. My Bible tells me we are to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not unto our own understanding. You see, when we lean on our understanding, we are leaning on a broken crutch. It might hold your weight for a little while, but sooner or later it's going to break. And the more you put your confidence and your weight and your trust in what you understand, your own wisdom, your own education, your own perspectives on life, the worldly wisdom that you have put into your life, the more weight you put on that, the more danger you are going to be to fall into destruction and despair in 2022. You might say this morning, Brother James, of course I'm going to trust in the Lord. I mean, who else would I trust in? Yourself. And that's our problem. See, most of the time, I trust in myself. You trust in yourself. That's what the Bible says. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In every crisis, in every decision, in every turning point of life, in every day, there will be the temptation to simply do what you think and know is best. Isn't that right? I did that before. I'm going to do it again. You know what a definition of foolishness is? Doing the same things over and over and expecting a different result. That's a very simple definition of foolishness this morning. And by the way, foolishness is the opposite of wisdom. God wants you and I to get wisdom. So we must make it a New Year's resolution. Would you agree? To this year, trust in the Lord with all of thine heart. Was God faithful last year? Yes or no?
Yes.
Amen. Did God answer your prayers last year? Yes or no?
Yes.
I believe He did. Some you are still waiting on, but that doesn't mean they're left unanswered. Listen, God is faithful and we need to trust in Him. The problem is, when we get into trouble, we immediately decline to what we think is right, not what God thinks is right. We trust in our heart and our own understanding. And we can't do both. We can't trust in God and trust ourselves. I found myself doing that. All right, I've got an idea, and God, I'm going to do that. And Lord, I'm going to just trust you that you're blessed. That's not trusting in God. It's like trying to ride two horses at the same time. What clown would ever try to do that? Well, a circus clown, obviously. Or a performer, you know? Or a stuntman. But you and I won't be able to ride two horses at the same time. No. What will ultimately happen? You and I will have to make a choice. Which direction are we going to go? Are we going to go our own way, galloping into the sunset of our own demise? Or are we going to get on the will of God and allow Him to take us down the path of His plan for this year? There's a choice to be made. There's a choice to be made. How can we make that right choice? How can we trust in the Lord with all our heart? Well, the Bible answers that question in verse number 6. Look with me there. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. That's how we trust in the Lord with all of our hearts. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. Now look at the word acknowledge. Children, even you can see this morning. What word, what other word is in the word acknowledge? What smaller word? The word know. the word no. Can you see resolution number one? If you put that down into your life and know the word of God, you will know what God wants you to do. And you will acknowledge Him in those times when you're not sure what to do. God will grant you wisdom. If the Bible says, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, then we will be sure not to move ahead with our own plans when the trials come, when the decisions have to be made. No, we will acknowledge God. We will acknowledge what we have learnt from the Word of God. We will acknowledge the wisdom of God. And we will wait on the Lord to show us what to do. You know, I think of Balaam riding along on his donkey. Let's take that horse illustration once again. And there he is, riding along the path to destruction. The prophet Balaam went to curse God and curse his people. And off he was going on his merry way. And suddenly the donkey shoved him into the wall. I don't have time to tell the whole story, but the reality is the donkey knew he was going in the wrong direction. And God used the donkey to rebuke Balaam. And so often everybody around us knows we're heading in the wrong direction, and the only one that doesn't know is us. Why? Because we're not listening to the Word of God. We're still leaning on our own understanding. And God may be withstanding us and standing in the way and saying, not this way. That's the wrong choice. How we need to trust in the Lord with all of our heart. Verse number 6. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. The word direct means to make straight, to make smooth. What a wonderful picture of the year that we desire ahead of us. None of us want to have a rough ride in 2022. Amen? None of us want to fall into the ditch of our own foolishness. And so God promises He will direct our paths. He will guide us. Though that may mean waiting, though that may mean deferring all our decisions to God, that is what this resolution is about. But we cannot go wrong in submitting ourselves to God's guidance this year. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Resolution number 3. Stay with me. Notice verse number 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. What ought to be another resolution for you and I? Hey, listen, eating healthy is good, but this is better. The Bible tells us that these truths will renovate your life, will change you spiritually, will allow you to stay on track. The wisdom of God tells us in verse number 3, and this is a very unlikely resolution. I very much doubt it that any of us wrote this down this year. To be humble. To be humble. The Bible tells us, be not wise in thine own eyes. And it's almost the thought, like the thought continues from the previous resolution. We need to be careful as seeing ourselves wise in our own eyes. Ultimately, God is saying, be humble. And how you and I need, desperately need, a fresh inoculation of humility in 2022. We desperately need it. It's urgent. Why? Because pride cometh before a, say it, fall. The Bible tells us horrifically that God resisteth the, say it. Imagine God resisting you this year. What a frightful thought. That me going my way ultimately will result in, like Balaam, facing the angel of the Lord in his own path. Boy, how we need to not be wise in our own eyes. How we need to admit that perhaps what we feel so right about in our own opinion could be in fact so wrong. How do we know if we are wise in our own eyes? Well, let me share with you some proud statements. Many times we don't make these out loud, but we live by them. So often we do. No one's going to tell me what to do. I know what to do already. Well, that is a proud statement. This feels right, so I'm going to do it. If it feels right, how could it be wrong? Or, I've always done it this way, and this is how I was raised. Well, that is a proud statement. You and I are resting again, leaning on our own understanding. We are seeing ourselves as wise in our own eyes. Hey, here's another one. God helps those who help themselves, so I better do something, and he promises to bless it. I'm really sick of hearing that statement. God blesses those who help themselves. You know, trusting in the Lord with all our heart doesn't mean sitting there and doing nothing. No, it means actively pursuing the will of God by faith only as he guides and directs. Amen? Doesn't mean being lazy. Now, laziness is not an excuse just to go your own way and make up the plan for your own life. No, God says we are to be careful, not to be proud, and we need to be humble. Be not wise in thine own eyes. How about this statement? I know something about this subject now. I've been doing a little reading, or I've done a bit of study, or I've done a bit of work experience in this area. I know a little bit about something about this subject, therefore, I'm an expert now. And I have the right to tell someone what is absolutely true and what they must do, even though I'm not even sure if that is the necessary conclusion. I know a little bit about it, and therefore I'm an expert. My friend, that is an indication that you are lifted up with pride. God says, be humble. New Year's resolution, number 3. The irony is, the Bible teaches that a fool is one who thinks himself wise. So as we enter a new year, we need to enter into it with humility before a holy God. Verse number 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Rather, fear the Lord and depart from evil. We are to fear the Lord in humility. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12 might help us in this area. Proverbs 14 and verse number 12. We've alluded to it so far, but let's read this important passage. Proverbs 14 and verse number 12. The Bible says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Again, that's another one of the most frightening verses in the Bible, humanly speaking. But you and I can feel so right about something, to feel that it's true and it's right and good for us, and we've made up our mind to do it, and yet, to the contrary, the end of that choice will lead us to destruction. That ought to cause you and I to be humble and fear the Lord. For God's ways are not our ways, is that right? God's thoughts are not our thoughts. And our thoughts need to be conformed to the Word of God, or else we're in big trouble. So we need to fear the Lord and depart from evil. What evil are we to depart from? But according to the context, I believe God is saying back in Proverbs chapter 6, the evil we need to depart from is being wise in our own eyes. From being lifted up with pride. Once you and I humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, he will exalt us in due time. Amen? He will open our eyes to the other evils before us that we may turn from. We must turn from. So turn from the evil pride. Pride is what destroys marriages. Isn't that true? The unwillingness to say, sorry, I was wrong. The unwillingness to yield and admit that maybe I'm not right about this. Pride is what destroys marriages. Pride is what destroys churches. An unwillingness to love over my own personal opinion. Well, that is a different subject altogether. But a New Year's resolution must be to be humble. Brother James, are you saying that a lack of vitamin D is not the answer to my well-being in 2022? Well, it may be, but you have a greater need this morning, because pride will destroy your very life. And you and I need a new measure of humility this year. Be humble. Be humble. God promises his blessings once again in verse number 8. And it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. So much for your New Year's resolutions regarding food and diet. God says pride will destroy your very being, but humility will bless your innermost being, your body, your soul, your spirit, your mind. Amen. You cannot go wrong this year by being humble. By being humble. Approaching others. Approaching your decisions. Approaching God most of all. In humility. Humility. Meekness is not weakness. Amen. Meekness is not weakness. God promises a blessing upon this resolution. Well, let's continue on. Have a look in verses 9 and 10. We'll only go down to verse 13 this morning. Verses 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of thine increase. Now, have you noticed that in the first three resolutions, God deals with our hearts, and now he is dealing with our substance. He is dealing with our finances. And by the way, that's what we learned this morning, that whatever we have, whatever God has given to us, ultimately the issue comes down to our heart. What we do with our substance is an issue of where our heart is at with God. And if we treasure the word of God, and if we trust in the Lord with all our heart, and if we are humble, then we will use what God has given us for his glory. Amen. New Year's resolution number 4, listen carefully, honor the Lord with your wealth. And how that goes completely against the grain of the world this year. Now, as we look out into what's coming up in 2022, economically, we have no idea of the economic fallout that this country is headed towards. We've got no idea. We have not experienced it yet. And so what is the world doing? Well, the world is preparing for the storm. The storm that is coming. The financial breakdown of this country. That's what the world is preparing for. That's what Aussies are preparing for. Hey, I need to buy that house now. Okay, I need to buy it now. Whatever it's going to cost, I'm going to make that decision. Hey, I need to pay off my mortgage right now and hold on to everything I have before the storm blows it away. That's how the world is living. And in the midst of me grabbing what I have, I'll try and grab a little bit more if I can to add to it. A panic mentality. Take care of my needs first. Well, the Bible tells us, as Christians, we are to do the opposite. We are to do the opposite. We are to, first of all, honor the Lord with our wealth. Is that a New Year's resolution that you have put down this year? Well, these are God's, amen? These are God's resolutions for you and I. Honor the Lord with thy substance. Verse number 9. Are we using what God has given us to his honor? Now, don't think back too hard about your spending last Christmas. But isn't it true how easily we can spend money? How quickly we can spend money? Look, you just walk into a shopping center and the mood around you will suck you in. Even if you're just headed to Woolies, by the way, will suck you in to look at that thing over there that you want but you don't need. You already have one of those, but now you want another one. And then you walk a little bit further and you see another thing that's out and it's new and you want but you don't need. And there's that desire in your heart and mind, isn't it? Isn't it there? Absolutely. Just don't look at the price tag. And so we go about spending. And we can be so wasteful. And God tells us this morning a wise New Year's resolution ought to be: honor God with your wealth. Spend what He has given you for His honor and glory. You know, I still remember the last message dear Brother Gilbert Anger preached to you. Do you remember he said, and I've written it down, he said, enjoy spending the money God has given you. Don't waste your time on spending the money on the world. Enjoy spending the money God has given you and invest in eternity. Amen? God wants us to enjoy the substance He's given us, the wealth, the finances. But He wants us to enjoy them, and they can only be enjoyed fully by using what He's given us for the glory of God. Honor the Lord with thine substance, and, verse 9, with the first fruits of all thine increase. What's the point? I won't dwell on it long. As God increases our finances, therefore our giving ought to increase. And you can say amen. Did you tithe on your Centrelink benefits and bonuses last year and the year before? Yes or no? Did you give God the honor by giving to the Lord this year? Hey, here's one New Year's resolution. I'm going to be in church every Sunday, and I'm not going to miss a Sunday of giving for the glory of God in 2022. I'm going to give to the work of the gospel here in Lake Cove. I'm going to give to the work of the gospel in the regions beyond by honoring the Lord with my substance. Wow, what a resolution. That's something that needs to be in place if it isn't already in our lives. Verse number 10. Now stay with me. Another promised result. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Now do you notice the complete contradiction of the world? Grab as much as you can, and therefore you'll have much. No, God doesn't say that. God says if you are stingy, you're going to lose what you have. Not going to be blessed. God says, if you honor me with your substance, you will be blessed. Now be careful. Verse number 10. Look carefully. Thy barns shall be filled with plenty. Now barns are places of storage. Also wine presses as well. But these are not places where goods are stored up continuously. These are places of production. Barns and wine presses are places of production. I don't believe God is saying to us this morning, if you give to me, I'm going to fill your pockets up with gold so you can hoard up more for yourself. No, I believe what God is saying in the eternal word of God, if you honor me with your substance, I will give you more so that you can give more for the glory of God. So that you can do more for the glory of God. You know, seed that's kept in a barn can't be kept there for that long. It can be there for a while, but sooner or later it has to be produced and dispersed abroad. Isn't that right? Wine, also, if it's kept in the one place and it's not distributed, it will corrupt. And God hates alcohol, by the way. So this new wine needs to be dispersed. And so for the Christian who gives, and who gives to God, God will bless in order that they may do more for the glory of God. That's His blessing and promise upon us this year. And it's not always financial blessing. You remember last time we spoke about money? He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. He that is unjust in the he that is faithful in the unrighteous mammon, God will commit to him the true riches of the Christian life. We are stewards. Let's be reminded to honor Him with our substance this year. Don't become like the world. Don't lean on your own understanding. Be careful that you don't lose your reward by spending foolishly and not investing in eternity. We have what we give. There's a statement to remember. We have what we give. All right, lastly, I'm sure you'll be waiting for this New Year's resolution number 5. Do not despise God's discipline. Verses 11 and 12. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Now as we close, let's remember, as a child of God this year, every single one of us will experience the chastening hand of God. We need to be careful to remember that, Christian. Because the Bible tells us the danger is, if we are not prepared for what God wants to do in our lives this year, we will despise the chastening of God. The word despise means to reject. It means to refuse with hatred. The word weary means to be disgusted. And oftentimes you and I say to God, God, why have you allowed this in my life? Lord, how can you love me if you've allowed me to go through this? And we begin to despise the chastening of God. Something we have to remember about chastening. Yes, it is God's correction for sin, but it is not always as a direct consequence of sin. The word chasten means to educate. It means to tutor. It means to teach. God doesn't just chasten the sinful Christian or the Christian that is stuck and unwilling to let go of the sin. You know, sometimes we have this wrong idea that we won't face any difficulties in our lives if we just stop sinning. Now, God has a plan for us in 2022. You want to know what God's New Year's resolution is? God's goal in this year is that you and I will change into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in order for that to happen, he needs to teach us. Isn't that right? Hey, there are some things in my life that have to go. We've talked about pride, haven't we? Boy, there are some habits that have to go. There are some thoughts that have to go. There are some plans that have to go. Christian, don't despise the chastening hand of the Lord. We say to God, Lord, how can you love me if you've allowed this in my life? We ought to say, Lord, if you love me, how can you allow me to stay as I am? Lord, if you love me, how can you allow me to go down that path of destruction? Well, God does love us. And the Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs, notice verse number 12, for whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth. God's correction shows his love. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. God loves you as his child, but he desires to delight in us this year. And so there will be some hard times. There will be some challenges. There will be trials. There will be testings. There will be difficulties. Why? Because he loves us. Would you resolve this year to make sure that when the difficulties come, you don't find yourself walking out of church and say, I give up on God. You despise the chastening hand of the Lord. You won't say, Lord, I can't live the Christian life anymore. I don't want this. The temptation is there. The fiery trial will come. And God says, I love you. God says, my goal is not your comfort in this 2022. My goal is your Christ-likeness. So these are some New Year's resolutions. And as long as you and I stick to God's plan, we will stay on the right track. Amen? Treasure the word of God, number one. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, number two. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Be humble, number three. Honor the Lord with your wealth, number four. And do not despise God's discipline. Proverbs 3 verse 13 ends, happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. You won't find these resolutions on Google this morning. They won't be there. They won't be in a news article. They are found in the eternal Word of God. May God help us to stay on track. Christ is coming. Happy is the man that finds Christ. Happy New Year, church family. May God bless you as you follow him and as we strive to get this. Let's pray for one another.